Let us pray. Guide us, O God, by your word and spirit, that in your light we may see light. Send out your light and your truth, O God, and let them lead us. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, in whom we pray. Amen. The gospel reading today is from Mark chapter 13, verses 24 through 27 and 32 through 33. You can find that on page 1578 in your pew Bible. But in those days, following that distress, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky, and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, people will see the Son of Man coming in clouds in great power and glory, and he will send his angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of the heavens. But about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard, be alert. You do not know when that time will come. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Our second reading comes from the Old Testament, the prophet of Isaiah, chapter 45, verses 4 through 7. For the sake of Jacob, my servant, of Israel, my chosen, I summon you by name, and I bestow upon you a title of honor, though you do not acknowledge me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. Apart from me, there is no God. I will strengthen you, though you have not acknowledged me, so that from the rising of the sun to the place of its setting, people may know there is no one besides me. I am the Lord, there is no other. I form the light, I create the darkness. I bring prosperity and create disaster. I, the Lord, do all these things. Amen. Let us pray. God of light and darkness, help us to remember that even in the darkness you guide us. You call out to us by name, and then you show us a new light. Allow the words of my mouth be a light to this world and this congregation. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, when I was in college, my buddies and I would pretty regularly go out to the local venue to see rock shows. We would go to about a show a week when we were going a lot. There was a lot of bands going through there. It was standing room only in this place. Held about 1,000 people. And, by the way, I can't do standing room only now. I'm just going to throw that out there. Ann and I tried to do that. It was like, no, we need to sit down. But when you went, and I was 18, 19, 20 years old, and you would go to these shows, and the excitement of the crowd was palpable. Like, you could feel it, the energy. And most of these concerts had a headliner and at least two opening acts. And we were all there for the headliner. We were all there for the main act who was there. And, you know, we suffered through the opening acts. We'd give them a little applause. Good work. We're not here to see you, but good work. You know, and sometimes they would surprise you and you'd find a new band that you liked. But after the openers finished, the roadies would come onto the stage and start setting up. They'd go up, they'd test their mics, testing. Everyone would go, hey, you know, check, yeah. Taping set lists to the floor, getting the instruments tuned, and the anticipation would build and build. And right before the headliner, the band that you were there to see, took the stage, can anybody guess what they did in this venue? Turned all the lights off. The entire place was dark. And that was the most exciting moment in the show, because that's when everybody would lose their minds, because they know what's going to happen. Here comes the band, baby. And we'd all scream, and we were all sitting in the darkness, and maybe you could see a light. Maybe the band's starting to take the stage. And some of these bands, the smart ones, would start the song in the darkness. And you're like, oh yeah, oh yeah. And then right when the song would kick in, boom, the lights come up. Man, we're all losing our minds. The darkness, right before the band came on, was not a darkness that we were mad about or a darkness that was upsetting. It was a darkness of anticipation, filled with hope, filled with excitement for what is to come next. So when we're reading Mark chapter 13, which is a pretty, apocalyptic text here in Mark, where he is speaking to his disciples privately, he's warning them about the future and what it holds, and he's given them these glimpses of Jesus' power, these apocalyptic glimpses. And he's borrowing from Isaiah here. He tells them that when he returns, when Jesus returns, the sun will be darkened, the moon will give no light, the stars will fall from the sky, and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. In other words, just before Jesus returns, there will be what? Complete darkness. All other forms of light will be extinguished. Imagine going outside during the day and the sun is gone. That's, we got a little glimpse of that during the eclipse, right? But not really. Imagine going outside and the moon and the stars have disappeared, leaving only the dark expanse of space for us to see. It would be terrifying. But this darkness is only temporary. This darkness is waiting for the one true light to appear. And Jesus is making a very clear point here. He's saying that the darkness, all other forms of light, will disappear before I show up, because I don't want you to have any confusion. When I return, I don't want you to be confused about who is the true light, who is the source of life. It is me. Jesus will show you who's in charge. All other forms of light, heavenly bodies, all of that will be gone. And Jesus will show you who's the light of the world. But I want to get back to this darkness idea. This idea of darkness preceding Jesus' return. When we talk about darkness in church, it often has a very negative connotation. If you're walking in darkness, you're what? Lost to sin. Right? Before God created anything, what were the two things that existed before God created the universe? Darkness and water. Right? In Genesis 1. The wicked find their happy place in the darkness. That's kind of out of Proverbs. So yet, like many biblical symbols, darkness, though, has many purposes. And they're not all evil. In Mark 13, darkness is a resting point, a space for waiting for God to speak, to work. And I want you to think about this for a minute, because darkness is not always a bad thing, right? What are some things in your life where you need some darkness? To sleep? Yeah, who in here loves to sleep during the brightest part of the day with the sun blaring in their eyes? Any of y'all? Any takers on that? Kim, right here. Kim's the one. Congratulations.
The only honest one.
Other than us, other than me, we have blackout curtains at our house because I need darkness, and especially if I'm taking a nap or something. Any of y'all tried to watch a movie during the day with the windows open? It's a bad time. It's a really bad time. Oh, and all of your Christmas lights look fantastic during the day, right? Look great. The reality is we need darkness in our lives. Darkness is a necessity so that we can see the light, as Ben so eloquently put it over here, so it can light the way, right? Beautiful. He's done. He's got my sermon down. Isaiah tells us that we worship a God of both light and darkness. We are not people who believe that God and the devil are two equally powerful beings at battle with one another all the time. We believe that God is Lord of all, both light and dark, and God can use both for God's purposes. Now, this time of year, we feel the encroachment of the necessary darkness. The days are getting shorter and shorter, I'm sure you've noticed. And the nights are getting longer. The church season of Advent that we started today is built around the idea of waiting, preparing for Christ's birth, working in the darkness, waiting for the light. And we also feel the darkness of the world around us. Maybe you're feeling some of that darkness in your personal life. Certainly in the world, we feel the threat of war with North Korea. We see story after story of disgusting, powerful men abusing female co-workers. And we think, God, we're ready for your refining light. Stop this madness. But the darkness that we're experiencing now, the darkness that we feel, is a preparation for the light to come. The pit of darkness that you may feel like you're in right now in this season is not your final destination. It's simply where we wait and anticipate the light that God will bring, the light of love and truth. And the darkness makes way for the light of goodness to reign in our world. So this darkness we're experiencing now is a chance for us to prepare, for us to regroup, for us to take stock in what is important and knowing what is to come. So for this season, for these nights that we experience throughout December, for the stuff that we see in the news every week, do not see this darkness of winter as a cold, depressing season, but an opportunity for God to speak in your life in a new way. Though we may be in darkness a lot, we know that the light is coming. We know the light of the world is to return. So in the darkness, we don't just sit and wait. We start getting ready for the light that is to come. So start to get ready. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.